Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. And here we have the record in the Bible of the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And we have the record of the first murder in the Bible. And we're going to look into that tonight. And we realize that in the Bible, God uses Cain as an example. It says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "For this is the message we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one," that's the devil, "and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." And so as we look at the story, we see that in verse 3, it says, "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth," or angry, "and his countenance fell." So the Bible tells us that Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of the flock. And they came and brought an offering to the Lord. And of course, very interesting, they brought an offering to the Lord. They're going to come and worship God. And it's an amazing thing that they're going to come to worship God with an offering. And where did that idea come from, that you'd worship God with an offering? Well, I think it's given in the scriptures that when Adam and Eve sinned, they now had broken fellowship with God. And now their sin separated them from God. Now something had to be done about their sin. And God told them that there was going to be a descendant of Eve. And this descendant of Eve would give them forgiveness of sins. And he was going to have to die on the cross to do it. Now, we're putting a little bit of the New Testament in there. And so Adam believed what God said, that Eve, who influenced him to eat the fruit and to bring sin into the world, was going to be the mother of this Messiah that was going to come. And instead of calling her death, I don't know what the Hebrew word for death is. What's the Hebrew word for death?
Mala.
Mala? Maweth. Okay. Didn't call her Maweth. He called her Eve. Living. And she is going to be the mother of life, which was contrary to what she brought in by sin, because the minute they ate the fruit, they brought death into the human race. But there, they believe the promise of God. And they were saved, I believe, right then. They believe they were saved by faith. Like all men throughout all the centuries, they're saved by faith in God's provision of a Savior who would give his life as a payment for man's sin. And immediately after this, God, the Bible tells us in Genesis 2, in Genesis 3, and the Bible tells us that And unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So what did God do? Genesis 3:21, God killed an innocent animal, shed his blood as a picture of Jesus Christ, who would come as an innocent substitute for our sin and die on the cross. He took the coats of that innocent animal whose blood was shed, and he covered Adam and Eve. He didn't cover them with loincloths. He covered their whole body. That was a picture that their sin was completely covered. And then God said, now that you've sinned, you can't be in the Garden of Eden anymore because the tree of life is here. You can't eat of that tree. And he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. And at the gate of the Garden of Eden, he put the cherubim. And they guarded the gate. Now my thinking is it was at that gate, there was an altar. Because the cherubim always guarded the altar of God. And that is where they were going to bring their offering of worship to God. And that offering was to be a reflection of their faith in the Messiah. And so Abel brought a lamb, an innocent lamb. His blood was shed. He brought it as an offering to the Lord, as a picture of Christ, his substitute. Cain, in rebellion against God, brought fruits. You know, there's a big difference between, in the Bible, Cain's offering represented rebellion, represented rejection of God's gospel. It represented salvation by works, man's works, rather than believing by faith God's provision of salvation through an innocent substitute, Jesus Christ. And we go further there. But you know, you think about, you take fruit off of a tree and you offer it to God, well, next year it's going to have fruit again, isn't it? You take a lamb and you kill it, it's dead forever. There's a huge difference between a lamb and fruit. Now, in Genesis 4, God told Cain, No. I don't accept your offering. The same thing God will say to people. No, I won't accept your works of righteousness as a means to have your sins forgiven. In fact, the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah chapter 56. When a person would bring their good works before God and say, hey, this is why you should let me into heaven. Not only is that wrong, but it's abomination. Because it's saying that God's provision of Jesus Christ wasn't good enough. And that I am good enough to earn my own way to heaven. See how blasphemous that is? But we have this picture of Abel obeys God, shows that he has faith by submitting to God's plan, and Cain does it his way, and he's mad. He's mad at God. He's mad at Abel. That old Abel. I know him. Who does he think he is? Self-righteous holy man. I don't know what he said. But the Bible says that Abel was wroth. He was angry. He was angry at God and he was angry at Abel. And you know, he was so angry at Abel. Now, God tried to stop him. God came up to him and says, why are you angry? You know what? If you would just repent and do the right thing, your offering would be accepted too. But he wasn't about to repent. He wasn't about to change. Submit to God, God's way. And so, the Bible says that Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and slew him, killed him. Wow. And God came to him and tried to deny it. He tried to deny it. He tried to, you know, say, am I my brother's keeper? And God says, wait a minute. The ground is giving witness of this blood that was shed. You're guilty. And God in his grace allowed him to live. But he didn't even like that. He wasn't even satisfied with that. He complained against God. And in fact, not only did he complain against God, God said he was supposed to be a wanderer, and he went and built a city. A city. Almost like a city of rebellion against God. You know, instead of wandering, stationary. And Cain became the father of the ungodly seed. And they multiplied on the earth. Successful, prosperous, builders of city. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment, built city. You know, architect, civil engineer, builder, you name it. All that stuff. What is the Cain syndrome? What is the Cain syndrome? I think we see that principle throughout the Bible. Now remember what it says, 1 John. Not a Cain who was of the wicked one, he was unsaved, and slew his brother. Now if you look at history, those who are unbelievers, who believe in salvation by works, are the ones who have slain and put to death those who believe in salvation by faith. That is the history of religion. Those who have religion, Cain had religion, but it was false religion. And he put to death the person who had the truth. Abel believed in salvation by faith in the coming Messiah, the Lamb of God. Cain believed in salvation by works. And Galatians talks about that there is this perpetual enmity between the system of salvation by faith versus a salvation by works. And but notice it says, then it says, why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You know why he slew him? Why did he hate him? Why did Cain hate Abel? Because Abel wanted to do what was right. And Cain would not obey and submit to God. And notice the next verse. I think it's very interesting. Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Now, let's do a little journey through the Bible here tonight and see the Cain, what I'm going to call the Cain syndrome. Okay? So, let's go to Genesis 21. in the Bible, we have Hagar, Sarah's maid, and Abraham commits sin with her. And the result of that sin was a boy by the name of Ishmael, the father of the Arabs. Later on, Abraham got right with God. God gave him a miraculous son by a miraculous birth. His name was Isaac. The Bible tells us in Genesis 21, verse 8, and the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Why? Because this is the line of the Messiah. This is the line through whom Jesus Christ was going to be born. This is the line that's going to bring redemption to the earth. This is God's line. And what does the Bible say? And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham. Saw the son of Hagar, that's Ishmael, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Here's Ishmael mocking Isaac. The seed of the wicked mocking the seed of the righteous. Who is right? Ishmael? No. Did he choose to obey God and live for God? No. Was he in rebellion against God? Yes. Who was he critical of? Isaac. Not perfect, but the godly seed. Now let's go to another place in the Bible. Let's go to Genesis 27. Genesis 27 and verse 42. Now, we'll summarize the story. Rebekah had twins in her womb. Isaac married Rebekah. Rebekah had twins in her womb. And God said, the elder is going to serve the younger. What was God saying? God's saying, I am choosing Jacob to be the seed of the Messiah. And you know the word Jacob means supplanter. It means deceiver. Means manipulator. You know, Jacob had some serious problems. I guess we all do. But you know what? Bible tells us in the Minor Prophets that Jacob had a heart for God. Esau, he sold his birthright. Esau says, I don't want to be the head of the family. I don't care about leading my family for God. I don't care about that. I don't care about spiritual things. My goal in life is not to be a spiritual leader of my family, nor raise my family. My goal is to be a hunter. That's what my goal is. And he says, sure, I'll sell my birthright. That doesn't mean anything to me. He basically said, spiritual things aren't important to me. And so, the whole story about how Jacob stole the blessing, which he didn't have to steal it because it was already his. He just didn't have enough faith to trust God for it. But notice what happens. When Esau comes in, now remember, Esau had already sold his birthright. He didn't care about spiritual things. He just wanted them. He just wanted the money that came with it. You understand what I'm saying? And he was mad. He was mad. Verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. My dad's going to die, and I don't want to kill him while my dad's still alive. It'd really break his heart. But when he's dead, I'm going to get him. And the Bible says, and these words of Esau were, her elder son were told to Rebekah, and she went, sent, and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. And so Esau, the worldly man, the one who despised God's plan of salvation by faith, who was rebellious against God, would not submit to God, hated Jacob. Ever hear that before? It's called the Cain syndrome. Now let's go to Genesis 37. Now in the family of Jacob, Jacob was not a very good father. There's a lot of competition, envy, strife in his family. You can imagine with all those wives, that's what happened. Polygamy. What a mess. Big mess. The fact is, many of the children were pretty ungodly. But you know, Joseph was special son because of his mother. And we know that Joseph was going to be the one that God was going to use to deliver Israel. And in the Bible, Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. He was the one rejected of his brethren, and yet he saved his brethren. And so he's a picture of Christ. And God revealed to him that he had a plan for Joseph. And he had this dream. In verse 7 it says, and behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more for his dreams. Now, who gave him the dreams? God. God gave him the dreams. He didn't dream up the dreams. God gave him the dreams. It was the truth. He was going to be the deliverer of the family. And yet they all were going to bow down before him. It did happen, didn't it? But guess what? God had a plan for Joseph. But what about his brothers? Did they appreciate it? Did they think well of him? Did they say, oh, thank the Lord for you? Nope. The Bible says they hated him. They hated him. And they said, we're going to kill him. Oh, wow, here we got the Cain syndrome again. The unrighteous hating the righteous because they had a heart for God and wanted to kill him. Wow. You know what? I don't think Joseph was perfect. As far as I know, he was a sinner. And you know, we know Jacob wasn't perfect. We know he was a sinner. And you know, Isaac, he was a sinner too. He wasn't perfect. And you know what? Abel wasn't perfect either. But you know what? All of those men had submitted to God's way. Had submitted to God's plan of and provision of salvation. You know, it reminds me of someone else. John chapter 8. Notice verse 40, Jesus talking to the Jews, religious leaders. It says, but now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not date Abraham. Verse 42, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, I think there's something for us to really think about here. What does the Bible say the real problem was? Why did they want to kill Jesus? Why did they want to kill Joseph? Why did they want to kill Jacob? Why did Cain kill Abel? The Bible tells us. 1 John 3:12, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. His own works were evil. You know, God tried to correct him. He didn't want to be corrected. Why? He's rebellious. He wouldn't submit to God. And guess what? He hated the person who did submit to God. He was critical of the person who did submit to God. Do you think that maybe Abel had some problems? I think maybe so, because I know he was a sinner too. Do you think somewhere in the back of Cain's mind, I'm just tired of this. I'm just tired of this Abel guy. This is the straw that breaks the camel's back. This is it. I can't handle this anymore. He's over with. Now, God says, marvel not if the world hates you. I want to make a couple of specific applications here. My observation is that when people won't obey God, They have a real critical spirit towards those who will. They have a negative, critical, fault-finding attitude about those who want to do the will of God. Those who are rebellious, those who will not submit to God, those who won't even be corrected by God, they have a very critical, critical spirit about those who are trying to do right. And the Bible tells us two things. One is a cover-up for their own sin. It's a cover-up for their own sin. Cain wouldn't take responsibility for his sin, would he? He wouldn't admit his sin. Even when God put him into wandering, he was critical of God. He'd continue to rebel against God. It often takes place among young people. Someone wants to do right. And because they aren't perfect, those that are rebellious find fault. Ah, you don't know that person. You don't know who they really are. Yeah, I know who they are. They're a sinner. Just think about Jacob. Boy, his faults were real obvious, weren't they? But the Bible tells us, despite all his faults, he wanted to do what's right. He knew that serving God was the right thing. You know, as you look in the Bible, this Cain syndrome is pretty common, isn't it? It's not like, you know, I'm just making this up. I mean, it's pretty dominant in the book of Genesis. Over and over and over. You know, maybe you're one of those that when someone tries to correct you that's trying to do right, oh boy, you just... you're ready to lash into them. Oh boy. You're not going to take any reproof. You're not going to take any correction. Arr! And you find some, you know, something about that person that you are going to blow out of proportion. And attack them. Criticize them. You know, ruin their character. Just for one reason. To try to escape your own guilt. That's what Cain did. That's what Esau did. That's what Joseph's brothers did. Wow. You know, if the Bible keeps saying something over and over and over and over, it must be pretty serious, right? Yeah. Must be pretty serious. And you know, it goes beyond that in history, if you think about it. But, you know, young people, I want you to think about it. Somebody tries to do right. Rather than that rejoicing that they want to do right, you want to criticize them, find fault with them, because you don't want to change. You don't want to change. You want to admit your own rebellious spirit. And you know, this is real prevalent in the Bible. I've seen that hundreds of times as a pastor. hundreds of times. I've seen among young people, seen among adults. I guess there's a few lessons here. One is, be honest. Be honest. You know, Cain wasn't even honest with God, was he? He wouldn't even admit his own rebellion. And when someone is trying, is doing right and trying to encourage you to do right, and you take a pot shot at them, you know, why don't you just look back at yourself and say, you know what? The reason I'm taking a pot shot at them is I have this Cain syndrome. And the Bible says it's a subtle form of hate. It might be an authority. Authority is trying to help you do right. And so you're going to make some big story about that authority. Oh, I'm sure there's probably some measure of truth in it because everybody's a sinner. But the real issue is you're in rebellion against God. And that person who's doing right just kind of got in your way. The Cain syndrome. Now, there's a lot of ways we could apply it to the world out there. Because world history is all about this. World history is all about this. The Inquisition, all about this. The Crusades that were for the purpose of wiping out the Anabaptists, it's all about this. All the same issue. We aren't going to preach to the choir that's not here. But we're going to apply a very important principle. It's called the Cain syndrome. A prevalent truth in the Bible. You know, wouldn't it have been better for Cain? Say, God, you know, okay, I'm going to submit to you. I'm not going to make my own way of salvation. I'm going to accept your provision. I'm going to put aside my pride and try to think that I can make my own way to heaven. I'm going to accept your provision in your Son. And I'm going to accept doing it your way. But he didn't. And really, that is the epitome of the ungodly seed. A rebellion against God's provision of salvation. A refusal to accept God's way. That's why in the Bible it says about those who refuse to obey the gospel. It's great truth for us. Isn't it great though? Think about it. Cain is in rebellion. Cain hates Abel. But what does God do? God comes to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, this wicked world, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Isn't it amazing, the love of God? He came to Cain for offering him forgiveness, offering him salvation. But he refused it. And you know, the offer of salvation is still here today, isn't it? And the offer of forgiveness is still here. You know, we can be rebellious, but God, he has the offer of salvation. He has the offer of forgiveness. If we'll be corrected, Submit to Him. His blood is sufficient to forgive us of our sins. But it does show us that not getting saved is a picture of the rebellion of man's heart. It's a refusal to accept God's love. It's a refusal to be humble before God and to believe on His provision that God has given in Jesus Christ. I trust tonight you know the Savior. And trust that this truth has been a challenge to us in our lives. And I trust it will be a help to you as parents. You'll see this among your children. I remember there was a girl, Barb Burton. She got saved. She was a bus kid. Came from the housing project in Sacramento, North Highlands. And, you know, housing, just the housing project. You know what I mean? She got saved. And her mom called up. Said, "Pastor, come on over here. I got problems with Barb." And so we went over and talked. And the story really amounted to this. Her brothers and sisters were jealous of her doing right. And they didn't like their sister doing right. It was convicting. And so they would make up all these stories against Barb to make her look bad so she couldn't go to church. So her mom wouldn't let her go to church. I don't remember the whole story. But, you know, we just kind of explained that to Mrs. Burton and say, this is what's really happening. And this is the solution. And she said, "Thanks. I see it myself." The Cain syndrome is pretty prevalent. Blaming somebody else for our own problems. And in fact, not only blaming them, but incorrectly hating them. Because they're the ones that are trying to do right, and we're trying to be rebellious. I trust that we've learned something tonight about Cain and the Cain syndrome, because we're born with it. We're born with it. It's all a part of being a sinner. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God tonight. And thank you for helping us to see this. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help those, Lord, who maybe have gotten caught into this syndrome and have never analyzed it before, never seen it as what it is, really a rebellion against God. Even as Jesus said to the Jews, it was because they would not hear His word. And so, Lord, I pray that as well, it'd be a reminder to us that the real issue of life is what we're doing. If we're submitted to you, if we're obeying you, or if we're proud, if we're stubborn, if we're rebellious, the problem isn't with others, it's with you. Help us to see that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, tonight for anyone that's here that is not saved, that they'll realize that God has provided a way through Jesus Christ already on the cross. And any other way is a rebellion against a holy God, a loving God, who gives that free gift by faith in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to be a blessing. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here tonight and you say, "You know, Pastor, I'm not saved. I have not received Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's God's provision for my sin. I've been trying to get to heaven some other way. And I've been refusing God's way. I've been trying to go my own way, my own works, my own religion, refusing God's provision. And God is speaking to my heart tonight. I need to accept Christ. I need to be saved. I can't pray. I can't save you, but I won't embarrass you, but you say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I see that as a serious need in my life. Anyone here tonight? Just lift up your hand. I can pray for you. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, I can see that I've been caught in this Cain syndrome. And I can see that the root of the problem is not admitting my own rebellion. Not coming to grips with my own disobedience before God. And somehow in the process taking pot shots at those who try to be godly, as imperfect as they are, or a bad attitude. And God has spoken to your heart tonight about the Cain syndrome. I need to take your eyes off of men and put your eyes on God. And God is speaking to your heart and say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken to my heart. And I realize that this is a pretty serious, it's kind of humbling. But this is can be a great victory. Say, God spoke to my heart about the Cain syndrome. So pray with me, and I made a decision about that tonight. Just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's great. Anyone else? Okay. That's pretty important. Real important. God's spoken to your heart. Lord, I thank you for your work even tonight. Thank you for great and tremendous decisions for eternity. And I pray that you'll be glorified. What a liberating truth it is. And liberating when we allow you to have your way in our lives. Now bless the invitation, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.